Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. It is 8:04 on the clock. I have your host, James, here. I'm joined by Melissa Kay and Seth Habhager.
Good morning.
And we're joined right now by our good friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center, Mr. Paul Trombley. Good morning, sir.
Yeah, good morning to you guys.
How's it going over there, Paul?
Oh, well, how about yourself?
Doing good here. Beautiful sunrise this morning. Mm-hmm. Can't complain. What has Mother Nature got in store for us?
Yeah, still another warmer day to enjoy today. Before that, cold front comes in tomorrow and drops those temps off here the rest of the week. But in the meantime, we stay with breaks of sun and some clouds over us at times today. Highs about 71. Southerly winds 5 to 10. With some more clouds tonight, a couple showers possible, 51. And then some scattered showers Thursday with cloudy and cooler temps here, 59. North winds picking up around 10 to 25. 33 Thursday night with some lingering clouds. Upper 40s Friday as a mix of clouds and sun develops. And then 30 on Friday night. Mid-50s on Saturday with some sun. Mid-30s Saturday night. Still edging up to about 60 on Sunday into Monday with a partly sunny skies taking us into early next week. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Not bad. Not bad at all, Paul. We'll take it. We'll take it. I'm not going to trade that one in. We'll take that forecast.
Exactly. Yeah.
Thanks for the time, Paul. We'll talk again tomorrow.
You bet.
Sounds have a good one. Appreciate that from Paul and our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Best in the business.
Yep.
Guys, we got Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club coming up a little bit later. We're also going to hear from our friend Phil Hartley with the Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday.
Yay.
Looking forward to all of these.
Yep.
For right now, fun one right here, I think, especially because we were kind of talking about this behind the scenes of because Halloween falls on a Monday this year.
That's right. Yeah.
And the three of us were talking about possibly doing dressing up for doing our Wednesday show on that Monday and all of us dressing up.
Right.
We'll see how that works. We'll keep talking behind
that
the scenes.
That works well on radio, you know.
Are you ready to hear my costume idea?
I was kind of trying to set you up, Mel. I didn't want to put you on the spot, but I'll admit, I was trying to set you up a little bit.
No, well, after all of our talking last week, I had an absolute light bulb moment, and we are going to go as a pumpkin spice latte.
Oh, jeez. Oh, no.
I get to be the cup.
Oh, boy.
Seth's the pumpkin. And James, you're the fluff.
I knew I was going to be the fluff.
Yeah, I was the fluff.
I just knew it. I'm the biggest pumpkin fan in the world, and I knew I was going to be the fluff or the straw. I thought I was actually going to be the straw, to be honest with you. I thought that's what I was going to be, but I think that's a fantastic idea, Mel.
Color
actually,
your hair white, it'd be perfect.
It's just like that fart costume. It's a bunch of white tulle, and then we'll sprinkle the spice on him, too. So he gets to be the fluff and the spice.
Fluff and the spice.
I got nothing bad about that one. That is a good one, Mel. I didn't see that coming.
I don't know if I have any orange. I don't have any orange shirts, so I gotta
work on that.
My pumpkin outfit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of my kids' first Halloween costumes, dressed up as a pumpkin.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
It's a classic.
Yeah.
Every little kid should do at least one classic costume.
Oh, absolutely.
Before they're a teenager.
Yes.
A ghost, a vampire, any of those things.
Right.
I don't see a pumpkin spice latte on this list, so we're good there. At least we're not doing something everybody else.
I'm surprised you didn't.
kind of am a little.
Kind of a little bit.
Although I'll admit, I didn't even think about it until Melissa said something, and then immediately I'm like, oh wow, how are no more people not doing that? The top 10. So we have here. These are either the top Halloween costumes to buy this year, or the ones to avoid if you want to have a unique costume.
Okay.
So it's kind of cool how it kind of has a dual meaning here a little bit. Costumes.com posted lists of the top-selling costumes so far for kids, adults, and pets.
Okay.
Starting with us boring adults.
Boring adults.
Inflatable T-Rex costumes are still the number one thing.
Seriously?
I'm surprised by that. That's interesting.
Oh, man.
Wonder Woman 1984, but certainly with a lot of our love of the 80s and dressing up like 80s style characters.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Done that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's a fun good, one. Nice.
Buddy the Elf. Yeah.
You have to combine Christmas and Halloween. Very good, yeah.
The Dark Knight.
No, Batman?
Batman. I am Batman.
I've never done Batman. I was Robin once, but I was never Batman. So
I like that. Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz.
Yep, that's a big one.
Oh, yeah.
Captain Marvel. Rey from The Force Awakens. Harley Quinn. Mm-hmm. Ride a beer buddy where it looks like you're riding on a guy's shoulders. I have to look this
that,
one.
Yeah, that one we have to look up.
This one I have to. Oh, yeah, that's exactly what it is, too.
Oh, good.
So it's it is you and your legs go through what would be your quote-unquote buddy.
Yeah.
And it's just a random guy.
It looks like a German guy with lederhosen, basically, yes. is yes. what it looks like. Yeah. Oh gosh, that's funny.
That's dumb.
It's dumb, but it's I like it. Still.
It's a little better. It's a little better than some of the ones I've seen. I'll say.
Oh
that,
yeah,
that's yeah.
And Elvis. Elvis hasn't been a popular costume for a long time, but I think that with the biopic,
with
and
the movie, yeah.
Oh, probably yeah.
A lot more Elvises this year. Get your Elvis impression.
The top 10 for kids are Paw Patrol. Mm-hmm. I even know what that one is.
Yeah, yep.
Justice League, Dorothy, did they say Dorothy? I think the Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz.
I think
Wizard
yeah.
of Oz, yeah.
Yeah.
And Harley Quinn. So we have at least two on the kids list that are on the adults list.
Yeah.
And if mm-hmm. this does not tell you without any more than anything else that adults have taken over Halloween, nothing else will.
Yes.
That just screams that to me.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Darth Vader, black and white striped inmate costumes. Now, an adult wearing that, it's a little kid wearing that is hilarious.
It's
awesome.
Adorable, too. Yes. I mean, it's absolutely.
They got the little fake chain with the
phone. Yeah, the ball and chain, yeah.
Also, little kids, inflatable T-Rex costumes.
That one I'll get.
Black Panther.
Ooh, that's a good one.
And I'm not as familiar with this one. Foxy from the video game Friday, Five Nights at Freddy's.
Five Nights at Freddy's. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's
huge for some reason.
Yeah. It's a survival horror game, so you know.
How did that become popular with kids? Because that's what I thought it was, but I was like, I can't be right. It can't be the same thing. Yeah, interesting.
It's all of our subliminal fears of Chuck E. Cheese, basically, is what it is.
That's what it
of animatronic
like, the little
things,
bit I've
yep.
seen. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
FNAF.
Hey, I grew up with my Nana watching The Shining with her. I'm not at all going to tell parents what they should or shouldn't be doing.
No.
Just reminds me of the Chuck E. Cheese's animatronics. You know, when you go to Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's what Seth was just saying.
Which were rather terrifying. Yes.
They
yes,
could be very terrifying, especially when they were broken.
Oh. I can count on one hand the things that scared me as a kid, and it was none of the traditional stuff like mm-hmm. it probably should have been growing up in the city. I wasn't afraid of that stuff. I was afraid of those darn electronic things. I'd never been to a Chuck E. Cheese. I get to go to my first birthday party as a little kid, and I'm sitting, of course, at the end of the table. These things are closer to me than you and I are, Seth. Not a one of them worked right.
Nope.
They made these noises even when they weren't operating. That mm-hmm. sounded like they were in pain. And I know they're electronical, mechanical things. I know they can't be in pain, but those
creep factor 100. Yeah, you're right, man.
Yep.
The top costumes for pets.
Poor pets.
Minions.
Jeez.
Yeah. Bette Midler's Winifred character from Hocus Pocus. Okay.
Really? Wow.
Okay.
Beetlejuice.
Oh, that's a good one.
Tigger from Winnie the Pooh. That has got to be good. That has got to look good. That's got to be great, I bet. Walking teddy bear costumes.
Oh, gosh.
Mm-hmm. Walking vet costumes. Ariel from The Little Mermaid. Oh, I like this. Slimer from the Ghostbusters. Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
That would be a good one.
Snow White and Superman.
Why do the pets seem to be better?
I was going to say the same thing. Yes, I think the pets
more
actually,
variety, you know?
The closest I have is with, instead of making your pet Superman, wouldn't you just make him Superman's or Superboy's dog?
Superman's dog. Yeah. It was Astro.
Astro or something like that. Yeah, yeah, just make him Astro.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, I'm just scrolling through pictures of dog costumes, and dogs as other animals is actually hilarious. A duck, a camel, a bumblebee.
Oh my gosh.
That's a good one.
All right. Did anyone ask these pets if they want to wear costumes, though?
The Pope?
No. Melissa, did you see the one, the dog is the mailman?
No, I didn't see that.
The irony.
The dog is the mailman.
Oh, that's awesome.
I like the dog werewolf. I like that one.
That one's awesome, too, yeah.
The dog cow is kind of good.
Yeah, but The dog lion.
The dog lion.
That's impressive.
That's the one. That's the one, man. That actually looks like a little mini lion.
Well, yeah, it does.
It's really good.
Does anyone surprise these are all dogs?
Yeah. Yeah.
They should just say instead of pets, they should just say dogs.
Dog costumes,
What cat are you going to get into? A costume,
man. You even think about if you're at the store and your cat's at home, and you think about buying a costume for your cat, it will scratch you somehow. You're like, how did I just?
What's the pain?
She's at home. How did she do that? Don't even think about it.
No,
yeah. I also think because everything goes in ebbs and flows, mm-hmm. and I'm starting to wonder more and more if we're not going to get to a place where Halloween costumes are more popular and Halloween becomes more of a pet holiday than even a kid or an adult holiday.
Well, it keeps evolving. So, and from kids to adults, what's next? Pets, I guess.
Pets.
They're going to have pets trick-or-treating now.
Pets as family. Yeah. Okay, but the hot dog costume is probably the best.
That's a good one. I saw that one. Yeah, that's a good one. Pinterest Pinterest also posted a list of the top costumes that are more popular than last year. The ones seeing the biggest boosts were Stranger Things, Elvis and Priscilla, and Top Gun costumes. So a lot of things that I think you'd expect.
Oh, come on. I've always was one of those more inventive Halloween costumes. I always wanted to do my own thing anyway, so, yeah.
Right. Make your own. Build it yourself.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was always part of the fun.
I love the people that do the mashup costumes. and every year, whenever they do their Halloween episode, Bob's Burgers, the kids are always a combination of something. one of the greatest I've seen. I actually would like to do this one. Louise was Peter Pan's Labyrinth. And she was basically Peter Pan, but with the eyes from the Pan's Labyrinth character.
Oh, God.
So good.
That is good.
Like, if I
that
could actually
good.
Think of one of those, I would do it. You're our friend and your old roomie, Laura, Melissa, had a couple of good ones for me. Like, I think she said a street Adrian Brody.
I like the street part, yeah.
What was it? Serge Downey Jr., basically the lead singer from System of a Down, Serge Tekke, and Robert Downey Jr.
That's a good mashup.
I'm not going to be able to top those. I can't
top
that.
No, those are really good.
Those are great.
Those are good.
Inner City Adrian Brody. That's what it was. Inner City Adrian Brody.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. There's one costume I want to do. I haven't done it yet. And someday I'm going to do it. You take a bunch of candy wrappers and you stick them all over your clothes, get some silly string and spray it all over you, and you go as the floor of a movie theater.
Oh, good. Oh, I like that.
There you go.
That's good. Ooh, I like that one.
Some empty soda.
Yeah, if you find different things you can stick on your clothes, and then there you go.
I'm thinking about this now, and I'm actually disappointed in myself. The most creative thing I've done is really not creative at all. My buddy Steve, he for years, as long as I've known him, over almost over 20 years, Steve's always done been Gene Simmons from Kiss, but every year he adds to his costume. So every year, it's like getting more and more authentic.
Yeah.
It's getting more. Like, he's got the boots. He's doing all that. He can actually breathe fire. Like,
Steve,
when I tell you that Steve is the biggest Kiss fan I know, trust me.
Makes sense.
Really is the biggest Kiss fan I know. I basically, he inspired me to do that with my Joker costume, where I just keep, like, it's just a mashup of all my favorite things from each Joker character.
Oh.
And that I, to do it. But that's not really that creative. That's not really, it's still basically the Joker. You could still, I like the idea of when people have to kind of like guess what you are and they want to take a couple. Don't tell me right away. Don't tell me right away. You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I want to see which part is the Jared Leto one.
Funny enough, Seth, the Jared Leto one, bottom of my shoes. Bottom of my shoes. Take a break. If I ever have to work with him, it is not going to go well. It is not. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back and have some more fun. Now, getting into Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club. Come back on Mornings at WFHR.
Put another candle on my birthday cake. We're going to bake a birthday cake. Put another candle on my birthday cake. I'm another year old today.
And that's enough for that one. And welcome to Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club. I'm sorry. It's the only one.
That's my favorite one.
It is your really your favorite one, Melissa?
Yeah, it's actually my favorite one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You don't have to keep playing.
I don't want. Well, now I'm glad you told me that, though. Now I know. It's time to do some celebrating, and we're going to celebrate all of you with our good friends at Misty's Menu, who are open right now. Treat yourself. Get on over to Misty's. They're open till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, be sure to thank the gang for us and wish them a good morning from all of us at WFHR.
Let's
send some people there and ask Seth, give me a one or a two here. I'm reading some of what Pam has here just to make sure what our qualifiers are. Okay, so we have two.
We do have two.
Yeah.
Then we'll go with two.
All right, there we go. That gives us our qualifier. So we want to wish a happy birthday to Sarah Najam, Pam's goddaughter, and she's in Minneapolis.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Sarah.
Yeah.
Have a great day, Sarah. That's a beautiful name. That's a really nice name.
Yes.
And Ken Ashenbrenner, Pam's friend. Now, I don't know if he technically could qualify or not. I don't know. So I didn't want to take a chance. So, Ken, we like you, Ken.
Yes, we do.
He's a great guy and all that. But, you can't qualify. Sorry, Ken. That just means you got to get to Misty's. That just means,
Pam
head over to Misty's.
Happy birthday, Ken.
Yes, happy birthday, Ken.
Ken's a good guy.
Yes.
Have a great day, Ken. We hope you have a great birthday. Also on our list, wishing a happy birthday to Vera Keller.
Vera, what a great name. Just happy birthday.
Birthday, Vera.
One of the more beautiful names I've ever heard, Vera. It's such a good name.
There's so many V women's names that I love. Vanessa.
Yeah.
Veronica.
Yeah,
they got the V names, man.
Yeah, what did you say, Melissa?
Vivian.
That's one I couldn't think of. Yeah, it's such a good one.
Yeah.
Great one, yeah. And also the qualifier today happens to be old high school buddy of mine, Mr. Nick Sweet.
Congratulations, Nick. Happy birthday.
Have a great day, Nick. Hope it's a good one for you. Nick's a good guy. Nick's a good guy. Still see him from time to time. Actually saw him at FRM Fest, I think, or it was before that, maybe. But see him all the time here and there and stuff. Always say hi to each other and stuff. And actually, I've talked to his daughter earlier than him because his daughter was in for one of the more recent plays that the grade schoolers did.
Oh, that's awesome.
Nice.
That's cool.
And, I'm sorry. She was in the Hopo production, too. I think she was in both, I want to say.
Oh, that's great.
She is really talented, too. Mm. Like, this is a very talented kid. And not surprising. Nick's got a lot of talents and skills himself. Have a great birthday, Nick. And you are our qualifier. You can thank Seth, though. I can't take credit for that one.
You're welcome.
Taking a look at our celebrity list, taking a look at our celebrity list, Har. I can fix that. You can fix that in the podcast.
Well, I'll fix that in the podcast. It's all good.
I'll just start on three here. One, two, and looking at names. Darn it, that's not what I wanted to say.
Take two. Maloff, come on.
Celebrity birthday time.
Get it together.
Jacob Tremblay is 16. Pixar's Luca and Flounder in the next Little Mermaid movie.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
He was in Room and in Wonder, a very good young actor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he is
so good.
Yeah.
In Room. That's such a good movie.
I haven't seen the movie Room yet, but I've read the book, and wow, what a character to play.
I believe Brie Larson won an Oscar for that.
She did.
Yeah. And rightfully so.
Yeah.
That's one of those ones I don't know how many times I'll watch it. But I watch it. You got at least once.
It's a tough watch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesse Eisenberg is 39. The Social Network, Now You See Me, Zombieland, Batman and Superman. A little surprised that he has kind of faded away a little bit because he seemed to be one of those people that people really like to put to work.
Yeah.
And a pretty darn good actor.
I think so.
Yeah.
What you see is what you get with him. Now, I will admit that I have unfortunately mixed him and Michael Cera up a number of times.
Easy to do.
Thank you. Because
they look very similar.
They do. They act very similar,
yeah.
too. They play the same character very much. I kind of want to see them in a buddy cop movie together.
That would be funny.
just being their neurotic selves.
Yeah, like, exactly.
I don't think we've seen that one. He was really good in the Zombieland movies. Let's see here. Kate Winslet is 47. Wow.
Really?
Wow.
Kate Winslet.
I like her.
She's been around for so, and I almost feel like she should be older.
Yeah.
Because she's been around for so long. I mean, she started acting, in her teens?
Yep.
When she started getting into movies. So, wow.
She is so dang good.
Oh, she's good.
She's got
to
be.
I haven't seen a lot of her more recent stuff, and I really want to.
Mm.
She's just, she is one of those excellent project pickers.
Yeah.
She always seems to pick these really interesting stories, and she always delivers. I mean, she's so good.
Endless Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, or the movie she did with Jim Carrey. That may be my favorite
Eternal
of hers.
Eternal Sunshine.
Thank you, Mel. Thank you. But the mayor of Easttown is where she's really gotten another name for herself with that TV show, where she won a bunch of awards and critical acclaim. Of course, I should mention, even though I haven't seen it, she is the Rose from Titanic. She is.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I think that's where most people fell for her.
Yep.
And just so talented, just so darn good at what she does.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hmm. Guy Pearce is 55.
Ooh, two Australians in a row, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Guy Pearce. Of course, I first encountered him, L.A. Confidential.
Yeah.
Still, it's a movie that, in spite of Kevin Spacey, yeah. I still like it a lot because Same it's a here. Really good movie.
It's the last great noir film. I
think you're right.
I think it might be until they make another one, or if they make it right, make it right.
Yep.
It's the last one that if you grew up loving those old police noir stories and things,
can't get enough of them.
It's that in color. It's also one of the greatest performances of Danny DeVito's career.
Oh yes.
Sneakily, it snuck in there and everything. And yeah, Guy Pearce is so likable. Or he does such a good job in that movie.
Yep.
He's very
even Russell Crowe.
Yeah, Russell Crowe's very good in it too.
Yep.
Yeah. I really liked him in The Count of Monte Cristo.
What I was going to mention.
Yes.
That's one of my, I really love that movie, but it's one of my favorite books of all time.
Yep.
And I think that's part of why I love the movie so much. Because I thought they did a good job.
Also a very good villain. He played in Iron Man 3. He played the villain in that one, too. So did a very good job. Plus, he looks like my Uncle Jeff.
Well, that's hilarious. He's also on The Mayor of Easttown, so that's kind of interesting.
Oh, interesting.
Not only, and we should mention Memento. Because Memento.
Oh, Memento's a great movie.
Might be his greatest work.
Yeah.
Might be.
And isn't he the lead in The Time Machine?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yes. That's right.
Yep. Man, he's got a body to work.
I forgot how much stuff he's been
in. Jeez. That's a good one. Good reference. Yep. The greatest hockey player I ever saw was, of course, Wayne Gretzky. I got to see him. But if it wasn't for Wayne Gretzky, I would probably say Mario Lemieux, who is 57 today. Hockey legend.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy to say that he's 57, more importantly than hockey or any of these other things, because he fought cancer twice.
That's
beat
right.
it, came back and played hockey, apparently was playing hockey while dealing with cancer for a while there, and now he is a cancer survivor.
Truly, he is Super Mario.
Wow. He really is. He really is.
Yeah.
He was so much fun to watch, man.
Yep,
he was. God, he was fun to watch.
Him and Yamir Yager together.
Man, that team that they
what
had.
What a team, man. Oh.
Clive Barker is 70, horror author and film director, most famous for the Hellraiser movies.
Yes, very classic. If you've ever get a chance to read some of his short fiction or his novels, he's such a good writer.
He is, yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's horror, but it's still really good.
I think you can make, and I don't mean this as an insult, I think you can make the argument that he's a better writer than director, and he's one of the greater legends of horror
when
it comes to directing. So.
Yep.
Sir Bob Geldof is 71. Sir Bob is the organizer of Live 8 and Live 8-8, both of which were very successful, incredibly successful. They say in this article here, they're taking a shot at his music career. I'm not going to do that. That man did so much
like
good.
Mondays.
Yeah, yeah.
The Boomtown Rats.
Yep. But all that pales when you talk about the work that Live 8 and Live 8 did. And really continues to do in some ways.
Live Aid, if you've ever seen any bits and pieces of it, still one of the most amazing musical events in history. It's still amazing to watch.
It really is.
Everyone that gathered for that, yeah.
Especially considering so many of the performances that happened there. I actually had this debate with people before. What made a bigger impact, Woodstock or Live Aid? I think there's no wrong answer.
No.
It's just one of those things where it's just about where I think a lot of it comes to generational, and I think lot of it has to do with what are causes that are important to you in life.
Yeah. To be fair, Live Aid did a lot more for other people than Woodstock did.
Absolutely.
So let's we'll put that in there too.
Yeah, that needs to be that should be noted.
Yeah.
Couple of rock stars here, a couple of classic rock stars especially. Brian Johnson is 75, AC/DC lead singer. Highway to Hell, Back in Black, TNT.
How can he still sing like that?
I
can't believe his voice still works.
I don't know how that happens. He made a deal with the gypsy. And Steve Miller is 79. The Joker, Fly Like an Eagle, Abracadabra.
Mm-hmm.
Fly
Like an Eagle.
Incredible artist. Some people no longer with us, Jeff Conaway, born in 1950, passed away in 2011. Bobby on Taxi. He was in Grease as well.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay. I was trying to picture him, but no. Yep.
Brian Connolly, born in the state in 1945, passed away in 1997, lead singer of The Sweet, Fox on the Run, and that kind of thing.
Yes.
And Larry Fine, born in 1902, passed away in 75. The Three Stooges. He was also
He was
He was a concert violinist. Is that what you were going to say?
No, I did not know that, actually.
I didn't either until this article. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, he was great, though. I love Larry.
And one of my favorite people of all time. Just period. Not just actor, not just stand-up comedian, anything. Bernie Mac, born on this day in 1957, passed away in 2008. Am I biased because he's from Chicago? You darn right. And
that's
I don't
okay.
care. In part because Bernie was one of those guys that when he was starting to get just a little bit, like be on Def Comedy Jam and mm-hmm. these things and started to get a name for himself, and all of a sudden they're asking him to tour in other states and all yep. this, Bernie wouldn't do this unless he could bring other other people with him. Mm-hmm. Like bringing other stand-up comedians, others to the... Kevin Hart has talked about this a lot. Without Bernie Mac, there's a chance we don't even know who Kevin Hart is. Mm-hmm. There's like the influence that Bernie Mac had off stage is so important. Mm-hmm. And one of the funniest people to ever walk the earth.
Yes.
Like, period. Just period. Like, Bernie Mac was just funny. Just funny. Walk out of... Like, fall out of bed funny.
We call that a sin.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like the only thing I can quote from that movie over the airwaves. True. But His it's a small performance in Friday, but I love it. It's so good.
So good. And that's how good Bernie Mac was. He yep. had so many roles like that, Above the Rim, where mm-hmm. he's only in it for like a scene or two. But when you talk about those movies, they're one of the things you reference.
He steals scenes. He stole scenes all the time.
And if you want to see, and look, I am not somebody that is usually okay with, I'm not okay with slapping or any of these things in real life.
Yeah.
Now, in comedy, it can be hilarious. And there is a... I test people on this. Tell me you watch this scene and don't laugh. There's a scene from the movie Chris Rock and Bernie Mac did where Chris Rock is running for president. And
oh, yeah.
Bernie Mac plays his brother. And he's like, who's going to be your VP? And he's like, oh, I got one person. And then they flip to Bernie Mac coming off a train. And because all these people are like trying to hoard him and get him, hey, you know, you should care about this. You should care about this or whatever. And all Bernie Mac is doing is just slapping people, just slapping people out of his way. Slap. And nothing like mean or violent. Just yeah. a simple like pop. And he's doing it. And it is hilarious. I watch that scene at least two, three times a year. And every time it gets me. It's my it's one of my palate cleansers. It's one of those things I'll watch just
yes.
for humor.
Yes.
He's just one of the kings of comedy.
He was one of the best.
Yeah. One more time, we want to wish a happy birthday to Sarah Najam, to Ken Ashbrenner, and to Vera Keller,
mm-hmm.
and a very happy birthday to our qualifier, Nick Sweet.
Happy birthday to everybody
happy
today.
Happy birthday, everybody.
Yeah.
All y'all celebrate, mm-hmm. and I say celebrate right into the weekend. Mm-hmm. You know, it's Wednesday. May it's close
well.
Enough.
Let's do it, yeah.
Go ahead and treat yourself as well. Head on over to Misty's Menu. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week. After you hear Melissa's news, go ahead and head on over there and wish him a good morning from all of us at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Mornings on WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. Seth, Melissa, James here with you, 8:40 on the clock. Hope you're having a good start to your Wednesday out there. We're going to be joined by our friends from Quality Plus Printing with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday any moment now. Looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
While we're waiting, this is an interesting one, you guys. A father's random Halloween experiment resulted in an accidental backyard pumpkin patch. TikToker Michael Anderson resides in upstate New York, where the largest gourd in the current county residences resides. Pumpkins and squash are native to the area, so the soil and climate are quite hospitable to this growth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no surprise that when Anderson chucked a rotting pumpkin into a corner of his backyard, it multiplied.
Man.
Quote, that time we accidentally turned one pumpkin into 27. In the video, he says, and you can Google that and look it up on TikTok.
Gosh.
Last Halloween, Anderson decided to try a little experiment when the family's pumpkins started to rot on the porch. Why don't we just throw it in the back corner of the yard and just see if, perchance one will grow. You know, one will grow. By August, his entire backyard and some of his neighbor's yard was turned into a massive pumpkin patch.
Oops. How do you explain that to your neighbor?
Now,
Sorry, get the pumpkins, you know.
I'm a little disappointed in the article because they do not mention if Linus and Lucy showed up.
Oh, yes. Oh, Linus was there somewhere. Yeah, the giant pumpkin patch.
That was bad. That was bad. It's going to get a lot better right now, though, because Phil Hartley with our friends at Quality Post Printing are joining us with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday. Good morning, Phil.
Hey, good morning, everyone. How are everybody doing?
Doing good over here.
We're doing good.
Yeah, good.
How's things over there, Phil?
I got a word that matches your pumpkin story.
Oh, all right.
All right.
That. It's Linus. No, it's not that. Sally, looking for Linus.
Here, yes, right? Yes.
Okay, the word of the week. We got word of the week. Fructify. Fructify. F-R-U-C-T-I-F-Y, which means to make more fruitful or productive.
Wow.
I don't know if that guy did is obviously the pumpkins right there.
Yeah.
The example they put in the dictionary is kind of funny. They put this one. It's kind of Halloweenish, but they were sacrificed in order that their blood might fructify the crops.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow.
What a great example that is.
Oh, jeez.
It's like the darkest example in history.
No kidding. Like, human sacrifice.
They're usually just these simple little things. It sounds like the Webster people got bored on that one. Late at night, I just
type something.
Like, oh, my God. Really?
That's a great word, though, Phil.
I go to one of our many coffee shops to fructify in my morning, you know?
There you go.
Nice, nice.
That's a little better one.
Well played.
Or maybe the opposite of fructify would be squirrel.
Yeah. There you go, yeah. That's a great one, Phil. How are things going over at Quality Plus?
Having a banner day at Quality Plus Printing. No, it's going really well. We got the Tracy McKenna in here. We'll be joined pretty soon by a couple more, and it's going to be another good day. Sunny, bright, and lots of orders coming in, so we'd love to see that.
It's really good to hear, Phil.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
I hear nothing but great things about the work you guys do in town and in the community. We know for a fact that you guys do good work. You've done some with us, and we just want to encourage people. You got any printing needs, head on over there to Quality Plus Printing, and especially if you've got things, well, I don't know if they could do this, ask them. Ask them and find out.
Talented over there, yeah.
Yeah, we'll make it happen. We'll make it happen. We're working on, what did we order yesterday? Some koozies for some people.
Nice.
That we can get. Again, that's not something we print here, but we use other local companies to help us out and get things done, and we'll get them for you. We're working on some River Kings stuff right now. There are programs and stuff for their hockey that's going on with you guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, broadcasting it so well, and yeah, so we're doing a lot of work with Paul and the group for the River Kings on their programs and their tickets and things like that. So we're really proud to help out local sports teams as well.
You can tell that Seth and Phil and I have worked together before, because Phil is setting me up perfectly. Because what I wanted to wrap up on was that Quality Plus is a the business has been around a while, Phil and his family have recently taken it over, and you don't normally see this all the time with a newer business or some new business owners, but you see Quality Plus all over the place. You see them investing in their community, putting back into their community all the time. Phil and his family are known for that, so it's not surprising that Quality Plus is also going to be known for that. And I just wanted to send a shout out to you guys about that, Phil. I think that is awesome, noteworthy, and we appreciate it.
Yep.
No, thanks. It's a pleasure to do that. I mean, you got to have pride in what you do and where you live, and anything you can do to make it a better place, obviously benefits your family, but very proud to benefit the community and make it the best we can do.
Buy local, shop local, support local, and that includes Quality Plus Printing, who are at 3515 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids, open right now. You guys open till about 4 today, Phil?
We're open till 4, you bet. Okay. We're here early. I mean, if you ever have a reason to be here before 8, I think Tracy gets here around 6:45, and I'm here around 7. And so we can help you out. We're willing to come early and stay late, whatever it takes.
Good to know. Good to know, Phil. Yeah. I appreciate it. You guys have a great day over there. Have a fruitful day.
It must be the short version of fructify. Right?
Maybe it is.
Be a root. There's a root there somewhere.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny, actually.
We're already looking forward to next Wednesday, Phil.
Yeah, me too. Boy, time flies, doesn't it?
Really does. Thank you for the...
Oh, my God, it's Wednesday again. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, no, very happy to be on the air with you three, and I appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too,
you
Phil.
Too.
Yeah, you too.
We'll talk soon. Again, Quality Plus Printing open right now at 3515 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. You can always give them a call at 423-7440, 423-7440. Be sure to bookmark their webpage, qpprinting.com, and Facebook, LinkedIn, wherever you're on, go yep. ahead and like their page and follow and support what they're doing over there.
Mm-hmm.
We will take a very quick break. We'll come back and have some more fun right here on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We hope you're having a great day out there, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Big shout out to our friend Phil with, from Quality Plus Printing, joining us for the Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun.
That was a good one.
Word I don't think I've ever heard before.
Me neither.
Yeah, I was going to say that too. Okay, so all three of us, none of us had heard
yeah.
it.
That's cool. A new one on all of us.
Nice
yeah.
job, Phil.
Very good well job. Done. Very well done. Also want to remind everybody that between now and 10, we're going to give you a chance to win some River Kings tickets.
Yeehaw.
Mm-hmm.
Support the Kings as they build hockey up and down the river.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow them every home game at WisCountry 105.5 WIRI. This Saturday, 7 o'clock, we'll be carrying that game for you.
Yes, we will.
Should food labels list the exercise needed to burn off calories? Just going to let that sit there for a second because I don't know what to make of this one, you guys.
Yeah, boy.
If you want to eat a full sleeve of Oreos, no one's stopping you. But could this change your mind, or is it overkill? A study in England found that instead of just calorie counts on labels, printing the amount of exercise you'll need to burn them off might help people eat less.
Okay.
For example, a can of Pepsi with 150 calories might say you'd have to walk for 30 minutes or run 15 minutes.
Okay. I see what they're doing here. All right. Makes sense.
There's already a name for that kind of labeling. It's called patronizing. No, it's... it's called PACE, which stands for Physical Activity Calorie Equivalents.
Okay.
For what it's worth, they polled people in the UK, and most were not in favor of it. Only 33% said it's a good idea, but around half did agree it would probably grab their attention more than just the nutritional info.
Probably. I think that's that was, boy, it's a very honest assessment, I have to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't really like it, but I probably would look at it, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Wow.
I wonder if this would get anybody to truly hesitate. We run
Hard
into this.
Say, yeah.
We run into this oftentimes with laws. Mm. You know, people will say, "Well, you know, one way to deter crime is higher, you know, bail money and longer sentences and everything." And let me tell you, people, that not once in human history has a criminal ever, "Well, I was about to do this, but you know, they raised the bail bonds, or they tacked on 3 more years to what the lifetime sentence of this, or whatever, or anything." No. It's going to happen one way or another, these things. That is not the deterrent that we would like it to be. In a perfect world, sure. In a perfect world, maybe somebody that you know, eats too much or what have you, maybe this would be encouraging. But if you're already that kind of person, are you even looking at the label anyway? I mean, are you even going to see this? Are you going to continue to eat, and now it's just going to, on top of that, you already felt bad, now it just makes you feel even worse.
Now you have more guilt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that this has the potential to be seriously damaging for people who have eating disorders.
That's a great
who
point.
Struggle with... already feeling guilty for eating or, feeling shame about their body or their size, which they don't necessarily need to, but it's inflicted by society.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well,
I think it potentially has more damage possibilities than good.
And if, say, it's just someone who, you know, just wants to, you had a bad day or something, you know, and they just want to, you know, pig out on something, they're not going to care either. You know, they're not going to say, "Oh, look at that. No, I'm not going to do this." They're just going to do it, you know? So it's like, well, who's this for? You know, I guess it doesn't matter if they put more stuff on the label. I don't care really about that. But is it going to have the effect that you're looking for? I kind of doubt it. You know, I really do.
Probably not on the label.
Yeah.
You know, if people want that information, make it available online, perhaps.
Yeah. Or somewhere. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's true too. I mean, even now, if you wanted to find that, you could probably find it pretty easily. You know, the pace, what James was talking about, you know, figure out what that is for each thing you're consuming. You could probably figure that out pretty simply if you go online.
Labels are hard enough to read already.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a lot of info on there. It's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think that I would like to see actually a better job of explaining all these things, what they are.
Yes.
You know, for everything we know what it is, a sugar, calorie, this and that, mm-hmm. you'll see a word on there and you're like, they make that up. They made that up. That's not real. That's not a real thing.
Yeah.
I've never saw that word in my life. I'd rather know what that is than how much, quote unquote, exercise I need, because this is another part of this. In theory, that works. 30 minutes of exercise for one person is completely different for 30 minutes of exercise for another person.
That's the other thing.
That's a good point.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody's body is different.
Yep.
If you are a person who is struggling with food or with weight, chances are, if you've been going through, and most people that are going through that, it's been years that they have been, that takes a toll on the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Exercise might be a good idea for you, but you know, if you're reading, well, I just if I drink that whole can of Pepsi, I got to go for a 30-minute walk here, but I had two cans. So now I got to go for an hour walk, or I got to go for an hour and a half walk, and all of a sudden you're starting to push yourself. And if your body's already rough, that probably isn't a good thing to do day in and day out, because how many people do you know that will drink that can of Pepsi one time 1 week? Like one day a week.
Right, exactly.
And it ain't going to happen. No, you're having at least one a day.
Yeah.
And so that adds on to this and this. Now, the other side of that, too, could be, well, if that person I'm talking about starts exercising, maybe they do get in better shape. Maybe mm-hmm. they do.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's great. Is it worth the chance? Is it worth, like, the ends don't justify the means for me here. More times than not, I'm looking at what is something's floor and what is its ceiling. And if the ceiling is, you know, to the moon, hey, let's take a look at this. Maybe this is worth us doing. Maybe it's worth the sacrifice or what have you of it.
Mm-hmm.
If the ceiling ain't that high and the floor is where it is, you got to kind of decide, okay, is this really something that we need in society? Is this really going to do anything? Or is it just another way to patronize people?
Or is it just... Well, go ahead,
ma'am. Is it just addressing the symptoms and not the cause?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's another great point. Or is it just another, you know, way to...
Shame?
Platitude.
You know, or is it just a way so we can get it off our guilty conscience? If we put that on there, then we don't have to worry anymore.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Instead of doing like what Melissa was talking about, finding, well, what are the root causes of this?
Mm-hmm.
Where did this eating disorder come from? Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't we address issues with our healthcare system?
Oh, boy. That's another big one.
That might help people be a little more healthy. If you could go to the doctor on a regular basis, if you could afford to, if you had insurance... I mean, I think that would make a whole lot more difference than changing a label.
How about food access?
Yep. Yeah.
All the junky food that we have is cheap.
Food access. Yep.
Exactly.
I'd much rather them put the time into making the food better and healthier than, you know, creating labels or creating you know, this kind of stuff. And I have to say, it's interesting. We're going to have Sheriff Sean Becker in with us in about an hour or so from Morning Magazine. One of the very first conversations Sheriff Becker and I had that where we just like clicked was the idea of getting rid of the revolving door of criminals. And how do you do that? How do you stop the person who's the repeat offender?
Mm-hmm.
And for years, they thought, you know, we got to make these, we got to add a tack on to their sentence. We got to do this. We got to do that. Nobody asked why they were doing these things. Mm-hmm. People started asking why. And all of a sudden, started realizing, wait, well, this crime, this one, all this thing they have in common, mental health. Mm-hmm. And so much of it comes back to that. Let's figure out why people are doing these things. And yeah, one out of three, maybe two out of four, I don't know, are going to still commit crimes.
Mm-hmm.
There are knuckleheads out there. That's society. But there are so many people that, oh, what did you? Why did you steal that? Well, I got no food for my family, or I got this, or I have that. And okay, well, what can we do to make it so that you're not going to be coming back here? So I never see you again. Yeah, sure, for sure.
Right. Yep.
Saying stuff. Mm-hmm. And they get it. And modern law officials get this, understand this. We've been shooting ourselves in the foot for decades and centuries, a century really.
Yeah.
With the criminal justice system.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not saying that every criminal gets a slap or gets a pat on the back and, hey, now you be good. I'm not saying that.
It depends on the crime. It really does.
Right.
Yeah.
There's certainly certain things that you don't get to come back from in society.
No, not at all. Violent people should not be within the population.
There's a line in the sand.
Yeah.
But there are other things where we've got to dissect. Why does this keep happening?
Mm-hmm.
That's the point here to me about this.
Yep.
I'd rather know why are people still eating unhealthy or this or that and everything, and finding out what that is before we just try to do the lazy
slap
thing.
Slap a label.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, hey, society, everybody, now we don't have to feel guilty anymore.
Exactly.
Now we don't have to feel bad anymore. We put a label.
Duty. Yep.
Yeah. That ain't enough for me.
Nope.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We're going to get into the start of the 9 o'clock hour, some entertainment news, and plenty more coming up on Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio.